Welcome to the September 14th, 2008 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, I'm Afraid to Title This One. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. I always know when to get started. Y'all get quiet. That is great. We are glad that y'all are here this morning. We welcome you to worship. My name is Jeff Allen. I'm the Associate Pastor of Students and Families, and we welcome you, members and guests alike, to worship with us this morning. We'd like to find out who was in attendance. We have pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew for members and guests. We'd like for you to fill that out, put your name down, check the appropriate boxes, and send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out. Once it gets to the end of the pew, we invite you to just send it back to where it got started. We do ask the first person when it gets back to you, if you could rip out those pages so our ushers can pick those up at the end of the service, that would be great. Let's see, reminders about today during worship. We are having children's celebration. So after hymn number 25, or during hymn number 25, which is the second hymn this morning, we want you guys, all the children, to join me. We'll be going right out these doors into Smith Hall. We'll be there till the end of the service, and parents, that's where you can pick up your kids at the end of the service. Let's see, we have regular schedule tonight. Invite you to take a look at the bulletin. That includes our live service tonight at 7 o'clock, our contemporary worship service, which happens every Sunday evening in Smith Hall. We hope you can come and be a part of that. There are other things listed there. One different announcement is for our family ministry team. That's all the councils, preschool, children, youth, and family enrichment. We are meeting today at 3 o'clock to finish up our planning for the year. So we hope to see you at 3 o'clock in Smith Hall. Let's see. That is it. We have a Wednesday night schedule as well. All those things are listed there on your bulletin. You guys have done a great job with our prayer partners. We've had over 130, 140 children, youth, and college students who are listed for prayer partners. We have 31 remaining. Our goal was to be done by today. Well, today's not over, so you still have a chance to go by and grab an envelope. We know some of you have not had a chance to do that. Grab that envelope, tear it open, find out who your prayer partner is, and then write your name beside theirs on the report, the printout there. That would be great. I'd love to see that. I'd like to be able to take that table down tonight, if at all possible. So thank you for helping us with that. Reminder for College Parkers, we are having our College Parkers meeting this Thursday morning at 11:30 in Smith Hall, so we hope you come and be a part of that. Mary.
Beth, stand up for just a minute. I want everybody to know what lovely taste Beth has in clothing this morning, not to mention her sitting partners. Craig pointed that out. So, anyway, ladies, we tied one on yesterday. If you missed our breakfast, please know you will get a chance to do it again soon. We had a wonderful turnout, and I think we had a really great time, and I am very excited after meeting yesterday. I wanted to remind any of the ladies that were there yesterday, if you still have a green card that you have yet to fill out, I am still taking those. Ladies who were not there, but who might have ideas for women's ministry in the near future, I would love to hear your ideas. If you have a talent, a skill, a something that has been passed down through the generations that you would love to be able to share with somebody else, I'd like to know what those are as well. You can email me, write it down, hand it to me. Maybe if it's a skill, put your name on it, though, so I know who it is I need to get in touch with to find out about those. But we are excited about what God is doing here. We are excited about the ties between the women here at College Park and the women that are outside of these walls that we reach out to and are affiliated with. And I just am thankful for all the ladies that came. I'm thankful that God is so good to provide people in our lives to love us and to care for us. And we're going to continue in coming weeks to celebrate those ties. Thank you so much.
We're very thankful for our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. If you're a guest with us, you've already given us your information. We would like to give something back to you. So if you're a guest with us, we invite you to just raise your hand as these ushers come back down the aisles. They will give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you will find a letter from our pastor, as well as some information about our church, and a newsletter that tells you what's going on currently in the life of our church. So we appreciate you visiting us, and we're glad that you have joined us for worship. It is time for us to worship together. Let us prepare our hearts as we get ready for worship.
We meet here each week.
We meet here to worship.
We meet here to worship together.
Young.
Old.
Male.
Female.
Wealthy.
Not so wealthy.
Southerners.
Northerners.
And those from other countries, we meet here to worship together.
Students and educators.
Musicians and mathematicians.
Soldiers and salespersons.
Democrats, Republicans, and Independents.
Together. The quiet and the boisterous. Together.
The staunch believer and the skeptic. Together.
We meet united by the greatness of God's love for all humanity.
We meet united by a love that wishes that none should perish.
We meet united by grace and mercy.
We meet united by the Holy Spirit, who brings us peace, healing, and love, which reaches across the barriers which divide us to make us one body.
We meet here each week.
We meet here to worship.
We meet here to worship together.
Come, let us worship and bow down together.
Let us kneel together before the Lord, our Maker.
Together, let us worship.
Will you pray with me? Father, there's something deep within us that knows that it is right that we are here. Because, Father, something within us cries out to the heavens to praise God. For that is what your creation was intended to do. To praise you. To worship you. So, Father, we come into this place ready and willing to listen for your still small voice. Because it's what we were meant to do. So we invite you into this place. Hear us as we worship you. Remove all distractions that would keep us from hearing your voice. And change us because we were in your presence, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our scripture reading for this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 18th chapter of Matthew, beginning at verse 21. If you don't have your Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible close to you. This is Matthew 18:21, the parable of the unmerciful servant. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, basically a few dollars. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." May God bless the reading and the understanding of his holy word. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, thank you for your holy word. Because the scripture is powerful for us and is such a great resource. It is a living, breathing resource for us in our lives and in our walk with you. And something that you have given us that we can take advantage of every single day. We thank you for that, Lord. Help us not to let it sit on the shelf, but to open it and read it and to see what it has for our lives. Lord, Jeff has prayed beautifully this morning, a request to you, which applies to this worship service, but it applies really for this whole week. And as I lift a prayer on behalf of all the people that are here today and those who are not here with us, I offer the same simple request as we go this week. Only you know not only the things that we're struggling with, but the things that we need. And Lord, sometimes we don't even know what we need to ask you correctly. But we do believe in the power of prayer. And more importantly, we trust in your love. And my simple prayer this morning, Lord, is that you will continue to shower and surround us this week, each one of us, with your love and with your presence. Because we are weak, and nothing of this world can be taken care of without you. Lord, you are bigger than the things that we're dealing with. You're bigger than the problems and the complications of this world, even matters of life and death. Help us to trust in you. Lord, be with us this week. Keep us in your care. Help us to seek you, to walk closer with you this week in everything that we do. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today to praise your name and to thank you for all that you have given to us. Father, we give thanks for this special day, as it is your day and in your honor that we come to worship. While this past Thursday reminded us of the evil that exists in the world, let it also serve as a day that helps us focus our attention on those who mean so much in our lives. Lord, even in tough times, help us to find those things to be thankful for and glorify your name. Father, thank you for this congregation of believers and the love shown for each other. And as we begin to face times of change and opportunity in our church's life, I thank you for giving us the free will and courage to talk and to listen to each other's views. And as we prepare to give back a portion of all that you have given to us, we pray that these gifts will do your work. We pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.
Before we read the text for the sermon this morning, let me make one announcement. I know we announced that tonight we'll have life at 7 o'clock. Next Sunday evening, and Jeff, where are you? I guess he's gone in there. Did he announce about next week before I got in here? Next Sunday night, Rodney Stillwell's coming. He didn't announce that. Well, good. Let me announce that for us. Next Sunday night, during the live service at 7 o'clock, Rodney Stillwell will be here. Many of you know Rodney and have had interaction with him through prison ministry. And he is going to be here to present a message through demonstration as well as spoken word. And many of you know that he's a potter. And he'll have his potter's wheel here. And I think it will be just fascinating. Some of you have seen program he's done with the potter's wheel. And it's always very meaningful. So I invite you to put that on your calendar. Next Sunday night at 7 o'clock in Smith Hall, Rodney will be with us. So it's also a good opportunity if you know someone maybe that's not exactly plugged into church and church is not their thing. But they might be interested in the arts or pottery or something along that line. Bring them with you to life next Sunday night and let them hear the gospel presented through kind of an artistic form there. So put that down on your calendar. We're going to continue this morning in our study of Romans. We've been working through it. And for those of you who don't like Romans, good news. We're only here for two or three more weeks. But for those of you that enjoy it, good news. We've still got two or three more weeks in Romans. So this morning, we're going to be in chapter 14, chapter 14 of the book of Romans. And again, as Jason said, if you don't happen to have your Bible with you, that's fine. There should be a pew Bible somewhere there on the row with you. You can take that out. And we'll be referring back and forth to several verses in Romans chapter 14. At least initially, I'll be reading the first 12 verses of chapter 14. Accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You, then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. May God bless the reading and the understanding of his precious word. About 450 years ago, Charles V stepped down as the Holy Roman Emperor. And when he retired to his palace in Spain, he embarked on a very interesting endeavor. He tried to coordinate. He had six clocks in his palace that chimed. And there's nothing more soothing, more comforting than hearing the hour chimed. And he had six of these clocks. And he tried every way that he could think of to get them all coordinated to where they all chimed at exactly the same time. I don't know if you've ever tried to do that. I personally cannot relate at all. But trying to get six clocks to chime, he tried everything he could think of. He brought in experts from all over Spain trying to figure out how they could get those six clocks to chime at the same time. And when he was unsuccessful later in his memoirs, he wrote this. How is it possible for six different clocks to chime all at the same time? How is it even more possible for the six nations of the Holy Roman Empire to live in harmony? It can't be done. It's impossible, even if they call themselves Christians. Sometimes it feels that way to us as we deal with each other's opinions, especially as it comes to matters of faith. You know, we have a good example that Paul gives us in our text today. Paul only deals with two issues here. Two issues related to restriction on certain foods and opinions about days and the specialness, if you will, of days. Oddly enough, or maybe naturally enough, we still have people in our time that are discussing and have belief systems that are based on restrictions like these. You know, I thought this morning it would be kind of appropriate to look at every single matter that has ever tended to divide the church. So I hope you brought your lunch. I'm really just kidding. We couldn't do that. It would be impossible. There's a relief from the choir back here. Oh, gee. You know, but we could not do that because it would take us months as we talked about things that maybe tend to divide us as believers. Matter of fact, you saw my title. I'm afraid to title this sermon. I thought about using the title, Surefire Ways to Split the Church. But I thought, well, maybe that's not a good title either. So I'm still struggling with title. Maybe by the time we get done this morning, I'll have a title for the sermon. But as I was reading the text, and I don't know if it struck you, but as I was reading the text this morning and this week, I immediately thought about Seventh-day Adventist Church. Not because I want to single them out for criticism, actually just the opposite. You know, but the reason I thought about them is because they still have within their belief systems certain restrictions related to the matters that we talked about here, that Paul talked about this morning, related to food and also the day of worship. They have dietary restrictions similar to what is expressed, and they base their observance of the seventh day on the fourth commandment. That has to do with Sabbath rest. Now, despite much of the misinformation, I think, about Seventh-day Adventists, I want you to understand, by their statement of faith, by their belief system, they are evangelical conservatives. They have a sound Protestant recognition of the authoritative nature of God's Word and His revelation through inspired writings, through the whole Bible. They believe in the transcendent, personal communicating God as revealed in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, each equally and uniquely divine, personal, and eternal. They believe in creation by divine fiat and recognize the fall of man. They understand that man is by nature mortal, but may receive immortality through God's grace and the redemption offered through the sacrifice, the atoning work of Jesus Christ. That's the official statement of their belief. That doesn't sound like a cult to me, does it to you? But to respond briefly to two particular issues that we've talked about this morning, I just simply want to mention that Sunday worship for the Christian was never intended to be a Christian parallel to the Jewish Sabbath. Although in practice sometimes we observe them that way. Scripture tells us that the early Christians developed the practice on worshiping on the first day of the week in commemoration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ on the first day of the week, on Easter Sunday morning. So that's how it began. And in its beginnings, it was a day set aside. It was the day of the Lord. It was a day of worship, not necessarily an observance of Sabbath rest. But that doesn't necessarily toss out, you know, Sabbath rest. It doesn't toss it out. But I think at the bottom of all of this, I think God wants us to understand the principle of rest. Not necessarily get bogged down in which day it is. We need to understand what it means to worship God, and we also need to understand what it means to rest. Important principles. You know, I also noticed that in Paul's discussion of food, he describes those who abstain from eating meat as weak in their faith. Yet very often we tend to view exactly the opposite. We admire those who have the strength to abstain. So it's interesting. Paul also implies that those who see beyond the restrictions are the ones perhaps who are stronger in their faith. I also notice that Paul mentions only two specific things when he could have come down with a laundry list that would have written, I mean, it would have been another 66 books added to the Bible. Laundry list of things that would tend to divide us. And we as Baptists, we understand that, don't we? We get that. You know, we are congregationalist. You know what that means? Everybody gets to have their word. We all get to speak our mind. In church business meetings, we get to speak what's on our mind. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. You know, but we understand sometimes, and the problem with it sometimes with that congregationalist thing is we fight over the strangest things. Historically, Baptists have split churches over some of the most bizarre things. If you've been a Baptist your whole life, you can chuckle. It's okay. We can laugh at ourselves. You know, but some are afraid to talk about it. Some are afraid to entitle sermons about it. You know, and that's okay. Christians differ. And we can differ on issues of conscience. Chapter 14 that we read this morning, again, verses 1 and 2, accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. And in verse 5, one man considers one day more sacred, another man considers every day alike. You know? Understand, Paul is not saying that every doctrinal view and every moral practice is to be tolerated. That's not what he's saying. You know, there are denials of the essentials of the faith, according to Paul, would be intolerable. You know, if you believe, go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 1, Galatians chapter 4, Colossians chapter 2. Paul would say that there are some things, there are essentials of the faith that have to be held to. He would say that there are shameful acts of immorality that are to be disciplined. He's saying all behavior is not acceptable. Remember last week in chapter 13, verse 13, he said, let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, nor in sexual immorality and debauchery, nor in dissension. You know, there are some things that should not be tolerated. There are things that should be disciplined. Nor is Paul saying that these are issues on which you should have no conviction. Nor is he saying that everyone's right and no one is wrong. That's not what he's saying here. So how can we know then what's primary and what's secondary? How do we know which things should be tolerated and which things should not be tolerated? I think there's issues of conscience that were arising in the early church. Remember, many of the people in the early church were from a Jewish tradition. And they had a gazillion rules and regulation about every aspect of their life. And now they're coming into a place of freedom. And they're trying to work their way to understanding what freedom in Christ truly means. So they had a lot of things that came up. One of them we've already talked about, diet. Diet. What should you eat? What should you not eat? Remember that in the Jewish background, they had this whole thing in Daniel. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Do you remember where all that started? How did they get in trouble? Right off the bat, they didn't want to eat the king's food. They said, give us veggies, man. Give us veggies. We don't want to eat all that rich, creamy, soft, slimy stuff. You know, we want veggies. We want veggies because it'll make us strong and healthy, strong like bear. You know, that's what they wanted. It got them in trouble. But see, that is part of the Jewish tradition. You know, remember we were reading through the Bible, Leviticus? Dude, you remember reading through Leviticus? You just get bogged down in all the dietary restrictions. So they came, that was part of their tradition. So you can understand where they're coming from. You know, the strong knew that they were not no longer under Old Testament dietary restrictions, although we understand now that there were good reasons why they had those restrictions, health reasons why they had those restrictions. Also, there was many that came into the church that were from pagan backgrounds. And so they naturally didn't want anything to do with meat that had been offered as sacrifice to idols. And Paul would say, well, okay, I understand that, but food is a material object, and food in and of the material object in and of itself are not sinful. It's the practice related to. So you've got to understand that. That there was the issue of drink. Look in verse 21. Verse 21 of chapter 14. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother to fall. That's what Paul was talking about. With freedom comes responsibility. You see, many were saying, you know, there's nothing wrong with drinking strong wine. There's nothing wrong with that. And others were saying, yes, but if it causes a brother to fall, there certainly is. That was a discussion they were having. Verse 5, we've already read it. They were talking about the days. Remember again, many came from Jewish backgrounds, and they wanted to continue to observe all the Old Testament feasts as well as the Old Testament Sabbath. And Paul would say, you know, the strong understand we're no longer obligated to such days because those days have been fulfilled in the person and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's good to remember them. It's good to understand the principles they were based upon, but you're not obligated. And that was some of the issues that they were having as an early church. Now think about us. What do we struggle with? Some of the same stuff, right? Diet and health. You know, this is the, you know, we are a temple. You know, we are the body of Christ. We're the hands and feet. We should take care of ourselves. So that whole thing about healthy foods and alternative medicine, cigarettes, all that comes into play in the local church. The thing of drink. Many Christians believe there's nothing wrong with alcoholic beverage. Others say no. You know, you shouldn't because it causes this. I mean, that's a discussion the church continually has. How about our days? You know, talking about an Old Testament Sabbath versus the New Testament Lord's Day. How about should we observe Christmas and Easter in the secular fashion? Some churches say absolutely not. Others say there's nothing wrong with that. That's a discussion. Dress. How should we dress? Should men always wear, should the preacher have to wear a suit on Sunday? Should we have to wear neckties? You know, should we allow someone in shorts to sit in worship service? About swimwear? Well, I know we don't have swimwear in worship, but you know, what is modest swimwear? How about that? What about jewelry? Should we adorn ourselves with jewelry? What about our hair? How do we fix our hair? Some churches have big discussions about the entertainment. Should we go to movies? Should we go to plays? Should we watch TV? What kind of music should we listen to? Should we dance? should we play cards? Should we, you know, family issues, birth control, schooling, infant schooling, mothers working, dating versus courtship for teens, youth programs, all of those things. Lifestyle. Should we tithe? What happens if we don't tithe? What about luxury? Should we live in luxury? What about social issues? What about politics? We ain't going there. Worship. What about worship? Should we require the women to cover their head in worship? You know, what about musical styles? What about Bible translations? You know, are there doctrinal issues on which believers can differ without breaking fellowship? And Paul calls all believers with differing convictions on secondary issues, as he said in verse 1, disputable matters. He calls all of us to unite in love as the body of Christ. Paul gives principles on how to do that, and he does that in this passage. Now, I'll be honest with you, as I was reading through it, I thought, yeah, that'd make a nice little outline. I could do that. That's good stuff. But, you know, I'm not going to spend our time there because, quite honestly, I think we do a pretty good job with it. I think as a congregation, we agree to disagree on a lot of things because we are in agreement about the things that are most important. You know, but I believe Paul tried to anticipate things. I think he tried to anticipate the needs that might arise, you know, that would divide believers. But I'm willing to bet he really could not have anticipated the biggest problem that the church faces today, which actually threatens to destroy us. And that's apathy. And the reason I don't think he anticipated it was because it was so far removed from his frame of reference. You see, when Paul was writing these letters, people were being killed daily for their faith. He knew that better than anybody else because he had been the architect of many of those deaths. If you go back to Acts chapter 8, verse 1, there's a verse that just jumps out of Scripture. This is the last verse that really deals with the stoning of Stephen. And it's chapter 8, verse 1. And it says this, "And Saul," which was Paul's name prior to conversion, "and Saul was there giving approval to his death." Him would be Stephen. Saul was there giving approval to his death. Many theologians believe that Paul witnessing the stoning of Stephen had a profound effect upon him, both as God was preparing him for his Damascus Road experience, and then later as he looked back and admired the courage of the Christian martyrs. So apathy was something that Paul just never would have had in his frame of reference. You know, Paul would argue, you know, why would someone accept Christ just to sit back in a church pew and be a fat baby Christian? Amy Grant wrote a song years ago called Fat Babies, and everybody misunderstood it, and they, you know, they blasted her. Why did you write a song about babies? And they missed the whole point. The point was about Christians who act like overstuffed fat babies. Think about what a baby does. Mary, maybe you can give us testimony. Babies do what? They eat, sleep, and that too. Yeah. Eat, sleep, and need diapers changed. You know, think about that. In terms of our walk with Christ, how are Christians like fat babies? We eat. We are consumers. And unfortunately in church, a lot of times, we come to church with a consumer's mentality. Preacher, what have you got for me? What can the church do for me? And what happens when you don't meet their needs? They cry. They cry. I wasn't referring to the choir as in they always cry. They just had the answer cry a minute ago, okay? Consumers, give me what I want. Give me what I need. And if I don't get it, I'm going to cry or go somewhere else. Sleep. Baby, sleep. How about Christians? Woe to those who are at ease in Zion. Don't bother me, preacher. Don't. I don't believe in all that stuff about sacrifice and tithing and serving, using my God-given talents for God's glory. Yeah, what would be the point in that? God says, wake up, church. Wake up. And as for that other thing they do, babies, have you ever seen how some people act in church when they don't get their own way? Enough said. I personally am convinced that Paul, if he could witness the modern church, I think he would say, what in the world have you done to the bride of Christ? What have you done? I personally am incredibly sick and tired of the church doing good things. And you go, oh my, he's lost it. See, understand though, I'm tired of us doing good things. I want us to do God things. You know, quit doing what's good and do what God really wants from us. You know? But see, here's the kicker. God things require sacrifice. And as I said a couple weeks ago, you know, most people just don't want that. They don't want, that's not a part of their life. God things require sacrifice, but we don't want to do that. And so God says, okay, fine. Do what you want to do, but don't expect me to bless that. And I hope you get a real nice, warm, fuzzy feeling out of doing good things, because that's all you're going to get out of it. You see, the modern church is so consumed with consuming and so consumed with doctrinal conformity about things that really don't matter, those things that verse 1 says, you know, are disputable things, that we have missed out on doing the things that really do matter. We've missed out on doing the God things. We've missed out on doing what Paul would say are primary, and that is reaching people with the good news. The good news of Jesus Christ. And I'm convinced that the world is yet to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, because all they can see through our apathy is the bad news or the no news of the gospel. You see, people want to be associated with things and people and ideologies that can impact eternity. They don't want to be associated with complacency. God forgive us. God change us. Because for we will all stand before God's judgment seat, as it is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Let's ask for his help. Let's pray together. Dear Father, maybe more than anything else, my prayer this morning is that I wouldn't be a fat baby. I wouldn't be someone who is so consumed with consuming, so concerned about having my own way, so concerned about personal comfort that I would miss out on the God things that you're going to send my way this week. Father, forgive me of those times when it's been about me instead of about you. Father, forgive me when I've lost my focus because I've been interested in good things instead of the best things that you can offer. Father, forgive all of us when as a church we've been focused on things that really don't matter, when we've argued about things that really don't matter, and when we tend to divide ourselves over things that really don't matter. Father, we pray that you would unite our hearts in love and that we would rally around the good news of Jesus Christ so that others can see Christ living in us, others can see Christ loving through us. It's in his precious name and for his sake that we ask all of these things. Amen. We're going to sing. And as you sing the words of the hymn of response, I pray that they would be your prayer, that they would be your conviction. And as you're here this morning, I pray that if you are not a believer, if you've not received Jesus Christ, don't let the bad things that you've seen in our behavior and our apathy dissuade you from having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I would be glad to share with you how you can unite your heart with Christ in a perfect relationship. If you're here and you're a believer and you say, Raymond, you've stepped all over my toes. I say, welcome to the club. God stepped all over mine all week. So it's only fair you get 20 minutes worth of it. But if that's you and you want to pray that God would, as we said, change your heart and continue to correct you and guide you this week as you attempt to make changes in your life that would please him, I'm certainly glad to pray with you. You can come and pray here at the altar. You can pray where you are. If you're a believer and you want to be a part of this congregation, I'd be glad to share with you how we accept members. Whatever your decision is, we invite you to make that as we sing. But most of all, make sure you are a believer. And most of all, make sure that you're pursuing the God things in place of the good things. Let's stand and sing together. remain standing for just a minute. Owen, come here, buddy. This is Owen Blink. Most of you know Owen. He's been raised here. His family's here. Probably your whole life here, just about, right? Okay. And he's coming this morning to let you know that he's prayed to receive Jesus Christ in his heart. And he's excited about that and wanted to share that with you. He wants to follow the Lord's example and be baptized. And I know that you're going to pray for him and encourage him and rejoice with him and his parents. And if you will do all of those things, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen.
All right. I want to ask you to come by at the conclusion of the service. Earl, Julie, wherever y'all are, over here. Okay. If y'all come stand with him at the conclusion of the service, that way, for those maybe that don't know him as a family, you can recognize him. Avery's in Children's Church, his brother, and he'll come on back in here in a few minutes and join them. But come by and hug him and greet him and shake his hand and let him know that you're going to be praying for him and encouraging him, okay? All right. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you for this day of worship. This is the Lord's day. This is your day. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.